Radio Free HPC. This is where we talk about supercomputing, high-performance computing, and other technology topics. I'm your Toastmaster, Rich Bruckner from Inside HPC, with my co-hosts, Dan Olds from Gabriel Consulting, and Henry Newman from Instrumental. Now let's get to the show. Well, welcome, guys. Dan, Henry, how's it going out there?
Going okay, Rich. You?
Oh, great, great. We just came off the Lustre User Group in San Diego. And in fact, I brought a guest with me to talk about that today. We have Brent Gorda from Intel, formerly the CEO of WhamCloud. Hey, Brent, welcome to the show, by the way.
Thanks, Rich. Good to be here.
Well, what I thought we'd do, Brent, is kind of do a wrap-up show of LUG 2013. You know, I wanted to start with something that I wrote up as a post. It talked about, you did a blog post this week kind of talking about the state of the Lustre community. And can you tell us more about that?
Well, so we had a bit of time to reflect going into this LUG, and it's really only been 3 years since the community rallied with the news out of Oracle. And in those 3 years, the change in the community and in the technology have been quite staggering from my perspective. The contributions to the code have completely accelerated to the point where we're looking at several hundred thousand lines of code change going into the next version of Lustre, and a dramatic increase in the number of features being landed and the technical capabilities increasing. At the same time, an acceleration in the number of vendors offering Lustre as a solution, and the number of those vendors actually contributing code to the tree. So when we started off at WhamCloud, it was mostly my engineers that were putting code in the tree. And now what we see is there's 15 or so other contributors to each release as we move forward, which I think is a really exciting place to be for an open source technology.
Hey, Brent, this is Dan. As kind of an idiot, let me ask you a question. Why should I care? I mean, I know there's nothing that captures the world's attention like debate about file systems. We all know this. There's nothing more riveting than hot file system talk.
That's true.
Tell me why. Why should I care about Lustre?
Lustre is literally the only open source production storage parallel file system mechanism that you can have access to. Everything else is closed source.
So the Linux of file systems? The Linux of scalable parallel file systems?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now that makes some sense.
It's a POSIX compliant file system that can move data at over a terabyte a second. I believe the Fujitsu guy stood up and showed a 2 terabyte per second data movement on the Fujitsu file system this week. Ooh. That's pretty incredibly exciting.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, so if you're going to do parallel I/O at that kind of scale, Lustre is pretty much what you got to use. And this community gets together every year to advance that.
And it's open source, which means you can do with it what you like under the GPL. And it's explicitly vendor neutral. We gave a talk this week in collaboration with Fujitsu where I quote that other number. Oleg from our team gave a talk about the huge amount of work we're doing to make sure Lustre runs appropriately on the Spark architecture. Right? You may have noticed in the past 8 or 10 months that we were acquired by Intel.
Yes.
We are platform neutral. We support Spark. We support Power, AMD all over the place. None of that has changed, right? This team is literally the same team that we had at WhamCloud. We've grown a little bit, but we're still focused on the exact same stuff, and we're pretty proud of that.
On that note, Brent, I mean, Intel doesn't really have a stake in the storage business, right? They don't sell storage devices, SSDs, but not their business.
Exactly. Yeah? Exactly. What they do sell, and what I'm learning a little bit more about this, is that Intel sell silicon to many of the storage providers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who else does, but Intel is big in that market. I don't know much about it myself.
Oh, it's a lot of atoms are in NAS boxes and arrays, and they're essentially servers, x86 servers. And Intel, of course, is very much interested in being the foundation of clouds as well, too.
Well, and Intel also has on their motherboards, they have SAS directly on the boards. and on the chipsets. Right. They support all the protocols that are necessary.
So the other thing about Intel that I didn't know until I got there is that depending on which year you measure, Intel is either the number one or number two contributor to the Linux kernel. Intel has a very large group, several groups, that do open source technologies. Intel is very strong on open source. They're very committed to it. And they're propping our team up and saying, go make sure that that technology remains available to the community. So
sure.
strong open source, strong multi-vendor. It, you know, it meshes quite well with what we were trying to do at LAMCloud.
I mean, Intel's been behind Linux for, you know, since almost day one. And quite frankly, it wasn't all altruistic. That's what helped take out commercial Unix.
Yep.
Cool.
Well, and if you look at it in this environment, many of the HPC installations use Intel Silicon, right?
Oh, sure.
And so having an open source technology available like Lustre facilitates that to some extent.
Now, Brent, at WAMCloud, you guys were charged with maintaining the Lustre development tree, right, and developing the next versions. Has that changed at all, or does that continue to be what you do?
It's continued to be the exact same thing. What we do is work very closely with the two community groups, the EOFS in Europe and OpenSFS in the U.S., to define the roadmap moving forward. My group does the majority of the work on that and all of the work on the release. So we do much of the code that goes into the tree, 75% or so based on the current release. But we do all the heavy lifting and testing and gatekeeping with respect to what goes into the actual tree that everybody draws from.
And how do you make money? Is it a support kind of thing, or what's the idea?
We sell support services worldwide. Mm-hmm. And for those who want to push the technology forward in terms of features and so on, generally the national labs or the OpenSFS group again, we sell development services, NRE development, to add these features that are necessary. Remember, Lustre's trying to chase the top end of HPC while filling in features for the lower end and more towards enterprise where we're headed with things like HSM.
I wanted to ask
from somebody smart that tape wasn't dead, and so HSM is a feature that we all are going to want here.
What HSMs are being looked at and at what scale? Because there's lots of different HSMs and attacking different parts of the marketplace.
What we're doing is working with the CEA. They've been working on the HSM code. We're working with them to bring it in the tree while at the same time enabling commercial entities such as Grau Data and SGI and a few others that I'd probably not be able to list them all to plug into this so that they can offer their services on top of the Lustre file system.
Hmm. You seem to have stunned us into silence on that.
Well, what's the time frame that this is all going to be available for people in the community?
You're going to see stuff starting to happen this summer. The official release will be in 2.5. which is 6 months after 2.4, which will be out kind of now next month. So that this fall for the canonical tree release.
If we're talking market share, say in the top, not the top 500, let's say the top 1,000 or so in HPC, what's the Lustre market share versus alternatives? You have any ideas?
So depending on who you listen to, it's either 23 or 25%, and it's the dominant player. The closest one to it is GPFS at 18%, are the numbers that I've got, and then it falls off quite quickly to Panassus at 9%. Those are the ones that I remember.
Those are the ones that show up on the charts.
But
then
what is the rest of everybody just using NFS or something, Brent?
Yeah, NFS shows up as a big piece of that. NFS, you know, if you include them, I think NFS is way up over 50% or something. I'm guessing there, but lots of people use NFS. I don't know how the surveys were done, though. If you go to a data center and ask if you use NFS, you're probably going to get a positive response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you say, do you use it on your HPC cluster, you might get a different set of answers.
Yeah. Well, I imagine that at some point it's kind of like what I see in enterprise IT, that they've got some of everything, and while the shares are shifting, it's not like they've completely gotten rid of whatever's out of favor.
Right. Part of the article that I wrote this week talks about Lustre being used as a fast slash temp file system versus a more stable slash home file system. And the sense I'm getting is that it's moving more towards the latter. it's always going to be the best fast slash temp, but the stability that has been achieved recently, the last few years, has made it appropriate to put your home directories on it. So you can have a very fast home directory system set up. With HSM, you've even got the comfort of being able to migrate that off, you know, to reduce the capacity or the fullness of your file system and to have a backup.
Well, Brent, a lot of the historical storage vendors have built their design around fast streaming I/O. Are you envisioning new storage vendors coming in that are more oriented towards the small block random slash temp kind of environments?
Yes, I am. We have some very interesting projects on the roadmap that we can talk about when we have, you know, more time, but that sort of thing is definitely directly in our flight path. As Rich probably noted from being at LUG this week, there was a lot of content. The LUG this week had 20-minute talks starting at 8 in the morning and went till 6 p.m. or something. Very, very long days. The Intel folks showed up. My guys showed up and did something like 16 out of the 40 talks. I was really proud of the delivery that we had there. One that I wanted to point out, kind of two that I want to point out here, there has been a metadata complaint on Lustre. In the recent years, people have said, look, a single metadata server can only do 20,000 file creates at a time, and that's just not enough. So Liang went and rewrote the metadata server with a threading model, and we got the single metadata server to now perform at 60,000 to 80,000 file creates.
And then with the same hardware, or did you need SSDs hardware?
Same hardware. Okay. Exact same hardware. Then what we've done is we've taken a note out of Panassus' book, and we've managed to allow multiple metadata servers where you can create a directory on a second or third or nth metadata server, and that whole subtree gets served off of that metadata server.
Hmm.
So now you can start to multiply that. It's kind of a half step towards the clustered metadata goal that we had when we were doing Lustre, you know, back 8 years ago or something. So we did that work, and then Robert Reed decided to go test this out on AWS. And we were just looking mostly for just a proof of concept that this would work in there. He stood up and showed a test run in AWS where he was doing 160,000 file creates per second. That's starting to sound like performance to me.
Yeah.
In an
yeah.
environment wow. where we weren't expecting performance.
Wow. So
yeah,
there's Lustre.
Pretty cool.
There's a Lustre setup inside of Amazon instances that
yes.
is set up. Or, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, and we're inviting folks to call us up if they want to play with that. We want to, you know, get it in people's hands and see what they can do with it. Another guy, Omkar, stood up and talked about how we've got Lustre to work inside Intel's Hadoop release. A month or two ago, Intel announced that they were doing Hadoop. So we've got Lustre in underneath replacing the Hadoop file system and running faster than Hadoop runs. And the use model there that is interesting for this community is if you're an HPC center, you don't have disk in your cluster generally. We figured that out 10 years ago that disk breaks, so we don't want them in the
yeah.
cluster. So you've got a Lustre file system across an InfiniBand network.
Yeah.
So what we've done, replace the Hadoop file system with Lustre, everything's global. Now the reduce part of your application doesn't even really need to happen, right? The shuffle part doesn't need to happen. We've got a global namespace. And so we find that it runs faster there. And what we're doing is enabling HPC centers now to be able to run Hadoop jobs without changing their architecture. That's pretty cool, too.
That's excellent.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, the project that we haven't touched on yet, the Fast Forward project with Deos and a new way of looking at I.O. was a pretty hot topic at LUG as well.
Yeah, Eric Barton gave that talk towards the end there as part of a panel on futures. And I wanted to ask you about that. What's the progress on Fast Forward? You're about a year into it at this point?
It was July of last year, and then we had to novate the contract to Intel, which is an interesting story in itself.
Yeah.
But we're a little bit ahead of schedule. If you want to go into that story, I'm happy to go into that story. On the technical work, we're at least on schedule. Everything's been caught up from the complexities of moving to Intel. And the ideas are fully baked, and the architecture has been approved by the DOE, and we're moving forward on implementation of the proof of concept. All of this, by the way, is done in the open, so there's URLs to go take a look at what these documents are and so on.
I did a podcast with Eric a couple of months ago, and we can put a pointer into that. He really goes into the, that in detail. But, Brent, I wanted to ask you about Mark Seeger's talk. He was talking some very forward-looking approaches to I.O., and I wanted to see what your takeaways from that were.
You're assuming I was in the talk.
How could we assume you wouldn't? How could we assume anything else? You're Brent Gorda, damn it. Of course you're in the talk. You're at the table on everything.
Just say, you know,
remember
I
said that the talks were 20 minutes long and started at 8 in the morning and went to 6 at night.
Well, it'll be an
inside. I did see a couple slides of his where he was talking about hardware latencies and changing technologies there. And I do know that he's incredibly excited about the potential of these new technologies, what they can do for us in the I.O. space. And you may have noticed with the jousting back and forth between Eric Barton and Mark Seeger, they get along quite well. And so there's high bandwidth communication between those two. So I know they're off figuring out how to make good use of this stuff.
Well, one of the questions I always have is, how are we going to solve the OS problem?
The OS problem? Which problem is that?
Yeah, the problem is you can only interrupt an OS so many times a second and context switch in and out. Was that addressed at all, or do you know anybody working on that?
I did not see that addressed, no. Whether Barton's working on it, I don't know. You would have to ask him.
Hmm.
Stunned silence again.
Again, you've stunned us into
silence.
Thank
you.
All right. Well, Brent, this was very exciting. It was good to see you guys at LUG this year, and I want to thank you for coming on the show. We don't have time to really go into a lot of the topics that I heard about, but we have great coverage on Inside HPC. I taped every talk, and I think I have permission for all of them. So look forward to that.
And we hope to have you on a future show, Brent.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Let me know when you want to talk.
Probably later on tonight.
Okay, guys.
After beers? I don't know what this would be like if we were drinking, guys. It might be real hard to record.
Well, we have been drinking. So
I've just been shoveling.
Oh, no. Is it snowing there?
9 inches.
Are you wearing a coat when you're doing that?
No, that's April. You don't wear coats in April.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, we got to go. Brent, thank you very much.
Brent,
thank you guys.
Rich. Thank you, Henry. And we will see you again on the next Radio Free HPC.
That's it for this edition of Radio Free HPC. Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back often for new episodes. Also, check out our website for more content, links, and a place for you to let us know what you think about the show. We're at RadioFreeHPC.com. Thanks again. We'll be back with another exciting episode real soon.